Thank you, Brother Benjamin and Sister Taylor. Well, that was a good way to jump start the meeting, wasn't it? I just love those comparisons because they're going on all the time, right? Brother Benjamin brought some of those up. So, Sister Taylor, they're going on all the time. There's two voices. One of them is right, one of them's wrong. I agree with that. So, but the Holy Spirit, what does He do? He cultures us to listen to the what He says, yes. Right?
Amen.
Faith enables us, and it's a good thing. Today we're going to enter into the last, well, hopefully it's not the last time we consider Paul's prayers. That probably wasn't the best thing to say. But it's the last in the series of lessons I'm doing on the Apostle Paul's prayers for the churches. And we want to consider Philippi and last time we considered Philippi and Thessalonica, but they're going to consider the Colossians and the Ephesians. Now, these both of the prayers to these two different churches are very similar. So I wanted to put this together because he's saying something here. Paul's was greatly benefited by these two assemblies. And even though I couldn't find where he was ever at, with the Colossians. I don't know if he was, but you can see how faith works. You can receive from people you've never met. You can. You can hear their faith. You can hear what's going on, and it can energize your faith. It can help you to keep pressing in just by hearing. And we've all experienced that. This, in some measure. So we can learn a lot from the Apostle Paul's prayers. He asked God for specific things that were essential in the advancement of their faith.
Amen.
He didn't ask for, superlatives. We sure hope that you have enough food. Now, I'm sure that, he probably prayed for stuff like that. But see, this isn't what this wasn't the main thing.
Yeah.
I sure hope you guys find a building soon. Now, see, they didn't think like this.
Amen.
They thought different. They were given to see things that were the most essential things, and that's what they focused on. And we can learn a lot from that.
Amen.
That when we minister on the most important things. And yeah, we do want to address the others. It's not like we forget them. There's a focus. And the Apostle Paul had very good focus. He saw the kingdom for what it was. He saw Christ for who He is. And he saw the church for who they are. And so he gave himself to the church. So today I would like for us to consider his prayers. They are so powerful. They're so packed with consideration for the brethren. And also at the same time, for some of the churches, it sounds kind of harsh. But see, this is exactly what they needed. Paul didn't draw back from giving the brethren exactly what they needed. And so this is a good frame of mind to consider. To the Colossians, now this is how he introduces himself. This is Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. And in Romans, he said almost the same thing. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, but he says something else. Separated unto the gospel of God. So this is what was motivating Paul. He was separated unto the gospel. He was given a commission I want to deal first with this apostle of Jesus Christ. We haven't dealt with that yet in this series. And I think it's important. Paul didn't flaunt his apostleship. He didn't lord it over the brethren. He wasn't like that. He would call himself a fellow saint, but he was an apostle of the Lamb. Now, Matthew Henry wrote, and I quote, "An apostle is a prime minister in the kingdom of Christ, immediately called by Christ." Now, see, this is the distinction. He's an apostle of the Lamb. See, there are some people who call themselves apostles today, and they could be sent by the church to do something. But he was sent by Christ. There's a distinction there. It says, extraordinarily qualified. Because he was sent by Christ, he was given gifts of more substance.
That's right.
and more grace, so that he could complete the work that he was given. His work was peculiar to plant the Christian church. I think I would probably just say the church, but anyway, and confirm the Christian doctrine. He attributes this not to his own merit, strength, or sufficiency, but to the free grace and goodwill of God. End quote. Now see, so way back there, Matthew Henry, he caught the sense of what an apostle was. He was somebody sent by Christ to do a specific work, and so he was given extraordinary skill to be able to do it. In other words, he could speak, and you could write it down, and it was scripture. His doctrine was pure. That's why it's very vital that the church of today is built on the apostles' doctrine. Otherwise, it will be flawed. And they may not be able to, they won't see it. Once you start believing something else, you lose your ability to be able to comprehend these things. Brother Gibbon?
There's a dimension in the kingdom of God that you can't arrive at by yourself. It has to be declared to you by somebody else.
Yeah.
And this is what Paul did. You could not conclude. You could read all of Moses, all the prophets, and everybody else, and you would not conclude what Paul says.
Yes.
That's how God gave it.
Amen. Amen.
And you'll find your own experience. If you read a text of scripture, you can't really understand it unless you've seen it through an apostle's eyes.
That's right. Amen. Sister June?
Yeah, we have a picture of this in the preparations for the temple when God gave Bezalel specific.
Yes, that's right.
Now, he could have given everybody that ability to do the workmanship, but he gave it to him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something he just had innately.
Yeah.
God gave him that for the building of the tabernacle.
That's right.
All right. Christ is building his temple.
Amen.
He's adding to his Bible.
Amen.
His
Amen.
Body. And he has gifted specifically. And there's a wisdom in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can point back to the source of it much easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wonder about, well, is that person or is that person? No, we have 12.
Yes.
And those 12 agree.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can judge more confidently whether or not the doctrine is true.
Yes. And we're going to go ahead, Brother Tony.
I was going to say that his distinction was that what he had, who gave it to him?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's what the distinction Paul made.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He argues it.
Yes.
I got what I got. I got from Jesus.
He amen.
Personally.
That's right. That's
matter
right.
Of fact, I saw the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
And he didn't go on about it, but see, Paul saw him in his exalted state.
That's right.
The
that's
other
right.
apostles seen him in his humble, humiliated state, but see, when exalted Christ gave what he got.
Yeah.
That's
amen.
What he was making.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. So he prepared Paul to go to a people that were not schooled by God. This was a special apostle. So as far as his commission goes, remember the Lord told Ananias in Acts chapter 9, you know, after Ananias had reminded the Lord what kind of person Paul was. So, I mean, they all knew this. They all knew Paul. But it wasn't in a good light. But this is what he said. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So Paul had a much more comprehensive work to do. So Paul truly was extraordinarily qualified to minister to the Gentiles, seeing that God had given him this special call. This was very special. And if you read the Apostle Paul, you see he has very special doctrine that none of the other apostles talked about, even though they all believed it. The specific reason that God chose Paul is recorded for us in Acts 26. Acts 26, about, I don't know, verse 15, 12 or 15. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read this. This is what it says. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is Jesus talking to Paul on the road to Emmaus. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, Now, wait a minute. He didn't walk with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He walked with Jesus after he was risen from the dead, just like Brother Tony just made, the point he just made. He walked with him in a time where Jesus was going to transfer to him things that were extraordinary.
Yeah.
Things that the church is going to absolutely need if it's going to survive in this world.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He was the apostle of the Gentiles.
Yes.
When the Jews rejected Christ, yes, the spigot was turned off.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's right. That's right. Uh-huh.
So Paul's going to tell the Gentiles something that the Jews hadn't been told.
That's right.
And no other apostle told them that.
Amen. See,
because of their condition.
Yes.
But he told them, what he's going to do. I'm going to provoke you by a people that's not a people. That's what God's doing. His intent here,
yes,
is ultimate. Ultimately, to provoke, mm-hmm, Israel. Yeah. That's,
yes,
why Paul was given more, because when a people will not receive the truth, the truth, mm-hmm, will not be sent to them.
Amen.
That's right.
Not in any decided measure.
Right.
Yes.
Well, look at what happened. He would, in every town he'd go in, he'd go to the synagogue, right?
That's right.
He would appeal to the Jews first, but if they rejected it, then he would turn to the Gentiles. Yes.
Most of the time, the Gentiles received what he said.
Yeah, the Gentiles that were in the synagogue.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, if you were a Gentile and you wanted to know anything about God, you had to go to the Jews.
That's right. Amen. Amen. They were the custodians of the knowledge of God. And so, but see, God's going to do a new work, a new thing.
Right.
And so he picked an apostle that he would had already cultured. Remember, as he said, it's hard for you to kick against the press. See, he was already cultured. He knew the difference between right and wrong. It's just that in his interpretation of the commandment, which was actually the right interpretation of the commandment, if somebody was coming up and they were speaking some other thing than what, then he was doing what his interpretation of the law said to do. And that's why God, see, he had a man to work with now that was sensitive to God. Anyway, this is what he said. Witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee.
Yes.
So Jesus is telling Paul, I'm going to spend some time with you. See, he was going to, that's how he did it. He spent some time with Paul. Yes.
Yeah. I was going to mention that the other apostles were with him for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul got in on that too when he was in Arabia.
Yes, amen.
But it was God who orchestrated everything from Paul's birth.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's right. Amen.
He was taught by the master of Israel as far as the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
He knew. And he was zealous toward God.
Amen.
But now, whenever Stephen, whenever mm-hmm. he received the coats of those that stoned Stephen, he said in another place, I've served God in all good conscience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that disturbed his conscience.
That's right, yep.
And it worked on Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So that whenever he was on the road to Damascus, he was ready to hear what, what he was told. And remember, whenever he went and waited, and then after Ananias prayed for him and the scales fell, as it were, from his eyes, he went immediately into the city and started convincing them of the truth of Jesus. And then he went out into the deserts of Arabia, and Jesus taught him for 3 years.
Amen. Amen. Now that's the kind of hands-on training that it gets the work done. You know, you spend some time. You see, now that we're called into the same kind of a thing, just not to the same measure. But see, if you know something about God, then Jesus has spent some time with you, because he's the teacher, right? We're following him. And you take up your cross and follow after. If you do that, he'll teach you things.
Yeah.
So this is really good.
And for this, Jesus doesn't teach in this sense we're talking now just for that person's sake.
That's right. That's
what
right.
he's taught is to be communicated.
Amen.
To
Amen.
Somebody else.
Yes.
So it's no person can just think that all the knowledge is just for him or her. It isn't.
Yeah.
It's to be communicated.
Amen.
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 Yeah, what I was thinking on that thing, that thought right there, is that what the uniqueness of Paul was his capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
he was a large vessel. He was a vessel unto honor. But he wasn't given something from the Lord that wasn't for anyone else. It was his office that was different.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else is an apostle like Paul, mm-hmm. but we have been given and come to the same place in the kingdom that Paul was given. It's something that's unique in the kingdom of God. In the world, there's a hierarchy. There's a separation.
Yes.
But in the kingdom, what Paul was given was given not only for Paul but for everyone. That's why he told us.
That's right.
And he wrote what he was given.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point about the hierarchy in earth separates, but the but these whenever God gives something in Himself, it unites.
Yeah. That's right.
And everything we've received by grace is to be communicated.
Amen.
That's why he received it. You couldn't get it from anybody else.
That's right.
You can read Solomon, you'll never get what Paul got.
That's right. Amen.
Or Moses, you won't. It was given to be given.
Amen. That's right.
He was the one that had to give it.
Yes, Sister Melissa, then Brother.
Amen. Yeah, I was thinking, so Paul was given as the apostle to the Gentiles.
Yes.
So he's the only apostle to the Gentiles, and all of us are Gentiles. So, like we said, you said yourself, the Lord gives each one of us different things. So
that's right.
We should receive one from another.
Yes,
so
amen.
Just be one who has the authority of everything.
Yes.
Each one that the Lord teaches and gives has some things to offer and are correct.
Yes.
So it should be received.
Amen. But Tony?
Now, what Paul received from the Lord, it made it what Paul had genuine. So later on, so he's going to have to defend all of this.
That's right.
So he's going to be able to go back and say, I got it personally.
Amen.
Personally from the Lord. So
amen.
It's just authentic, genuine.
That's
I didn't even get it from Peter. But
that's right.
We can have everything that Paul has.
That's right.
In our measure, you know. You can hold it or carry it off, so to speak.
That's right.
Or if you can tote it away from, you can have it.
That's right.
Everything Paul got, he just got it from the Lord personally.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that is the point of the communication.
Yes.
Is that...
That's right.
That whenever you receive the teaching of any of the apostles, but we're talking specifically about Paul here, well, there's a joining there that happens.
Yes.
All right. God didn't give it to you directly, but He did give it to you.
Yes.
And you can have it just like Paul had it.
Yes.
If you receive it by faith.
That's right.
Yes, he didn't preach any of this in any synagogue.
Yeah.
The unsearchable riches of Christ were never preached in the synagogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were preached to the Gentiles.
Yeah. That's right.
Because they were intended to embrace it and excel.
Yes. Amen.
It's for us. Yet Paul in the Gentile church is the most neglected apostle there is.
Yeah.
And he's for the Gentiles. Which means you can have what he got.
Amen. That's right. Sister Nikki?
Yeah, just to add to what Sister Melissa was just talking about as far as receiving from one another, I was considering how in the world, people who are not seeing the same exact thing, they're like in competition with each other. But that's not so in the body of Christ.
That's right.
In the body, we're not at competition with one another.
Yes.
Actually, the gifts complement one
another. Amen. That's right.
And that's how it's tempered.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Good time.
And it's like-mindedness they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like-mindedness.
Yes.
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 Now, this, with all respect, this is not like-mindedness of the group. Of the assembly, so or assume the personality of the assembly.
Yeah.
Okay. Ideally, we're supposed to assume the personality of Christ.
That's right.
Talking about generally.
Yeah.
Of His goodness and His kindness. And that's what I'm talking about. Now, the like-mindedness now is like-mindedness of the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. It's like this. If Paul saw this, well, let's just take an exhorter. Let's take an exhorter. An exhorter sees something. When he communicates that, you can see it. You can see it too.
That's right. Yeah.
Just as surely as he saw it, but it came from him, but you see it too.
Yes.
And that's the way it is. And Sister Nikki was talking, ministering one to another. When you see something, the other person can see it.
Yes.
When you tell
it. Amen. Amen.
Boy, that's marvelous.
It is.
That's marvelous.
Amen. So Paul would say, well, how is it when you come together? See, that's why he said that, because this is an active work by the Holy Spirit through those who believe in order that you might edify one another in love. Mm-hmm. So this is what an arrangement this is. All it requires is for people to come believing, trusting.
It's when you can see it.
Oh, yes. Amen.
And use it. That's
amen.
What edification is.
Yeah. Yes, Brother Gene?
It's good to note that at the end of this letter, uh-huh. Well, Paul says, read this letter to everybody.
Yes.
And read the letter from the Laodiceans as
that's
well.
That's right. So yeah.
It's part of this interaction.
That's right.
The working of these various parts together.
Yes. Do you get the idea that passed the letters along, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they shared what they were given.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Very good. This is what he says to him some more. Now, that you think that's really good. But he says, delivering thee from the people. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Delivering thee. This is. I think he's telling this to Agrippa, right?
Yeah.
Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles.
That's right.
There had to be some deliverance there. Unto whom now I send thee. And so this is like the foundation.
Yeah.
And then he's going to give him the bottom line, you know, this is the bottom line of why God called Paul to open their eyes. I'd like to have that commission. You ever tried to open someone's eyes? This is what he was given, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now that's a calling.
Amen.
And Paul did not forsake this calling from the moment he received it until the day he died.
Yeah.
Brother?
My father and I have talked a lot about this, but I can testify that Paul is the one that opened my eyes to the things he talks about. I was a prolific Bible reader all since I was a young teenager. But what he said, he was to get an image, open their eyes.
That's right.
And when he preached, if you believe what he said, he opened their eyes to things that they didn't see before.
That's right.
Even that were in the prophets they didn't see before.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Now, this was something that God gave Paul while he was sending him to a people that had not been cultured by God. You see how this perfectly fits his calling. In other words, he's going to be able to preach. The Holy Spirit's going to be in the room.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit technically is the one that opens the eyes, but he had to have what Paul said to do it.
Right.
This is a marvelous thing. Same thing's going on here. You know, and everywhere you start talking about Christ and you start preaching Christ and you start exalting Christ, somebody, if they're listening, their eyes will be opened.
Election, God's eternal purpose. Where did you learn that?
That's right. From Paul.
Paul's the one that learned that. He's the one that opened our eyes to that.
That's right. That's right. So, there's somebody over here.
Even in Paul turning to the Gentiles, he said, is to provoke the Jews to judge.
That's right.
So, when the veil was lifted, and the Jews salvation comes to the Jews.
Yes.
Paul's ministry is going to be critical. In what God gives through every member of the body, it truly is intended for every, even for those who right now there's a veil over their eyes.
Yes, amen.
He goes to the Gentiles in order to provoke the Jews.
Yes, amen. Amen. You think now, this great high calling, and yet did this promote pride in Paul? See, now I don't know that any one of us have ever received a calling like this. I mean, as powerful and as the scope as large as this, and yet it didn't make Paul proud. It actually made him humble. Even with a high calling such as this, Paul does not overly exalt himself over the brethren. He doesn't, ever. And you can read his writings. Every single time, he said, I won't eat anything. Right? If it's going to offend somebody or cause them to stumble. That's what offend means, right? Sister?
Now, behind all of this, Paul understood he understood his own message.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that could not be given until sin had been dealt with.
Yes,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul knew he was a vessel of the Lord to proclaim things that heretofore were shut up against the knowledge of God. And so that in itself, the fact that he knew in himself that these things came from God, his calling came from God, his message came from God, the working in the people came from God. He could say the words, but he knew that there was a glorified Christ that was opening the hearts of those that he had predestined. And so that everything that he could be confident in Jesus because he had overcome the world.
Amen. That's right.
And so that none of that promotes pride.
That's right.
If
Amen.
A person would accuse Paul of pride, then they're without understanding and they need to keep silent and learn.
Amen. Amen. Sister Melissa?
Yeah, you get a picture of, you know, Christ, whenever he met with the disciples on the last night, and he washed their feet. You get a picture of him giving this same commission to Paul, because he said, you know, the least among you would do this. So we have to be willing to wash the saints of the feet, the feet of the saints.
Amen.
If what you say or what you're doing is not that humble, then we should examine ourselves and see, because this is what Paul did, really. He Christ used him to help draw us to him.
See, Paul was perfect for every circumstance. And this is what is so important. It's not like Paul said, I'm just going to say nice things. That isn't the way Paul went into the... He was going to say what the right thing. See, there's a difference. There's a difference. I mean, well, obviously, you don't want to offend people just for offense sake. That's not what Paul would not do that. But at the same time, he would give them what would help them to overcome the situation. Go ahead.
Yes, humility.
Yeah, that's right.
And nobody, no man taught Paul. He made that.
That's right, yeah.
But see, there was like all this Onesiphorus, he sought him out.
Yes.
And Philippi ministered to him.
Yes, yeah.
And it helped him in what they did.
Yes.
Helped him in his ministry.
That's right. Which proved that he was able to receive from
humble,
those.
See?
That's right. Amen.
He received what there were people who could minister to him, but not teaching. They didn't minister teaching to him, but they ministered something he needed to be a teacher.
Amen. That's right. And that's how the body works together.
That's right.
So he doesn't stand and command. He doesn't write commandments. Even though sometimes he said he told them things to do. But it wasn't a command. I think everyone knows what I'm saying here, your sister.
He addressed this in one place when he said that the more he loved them, the less he'd be loved.
Yeah.
Which meant he had to tell them things that were hard on the flesh.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But he did it because he loved them.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. He did it because he was given this calling. How could he possibly fulfill this calling and avoid some things? He couldn't. But see how the grace of God was with him and teaching him how to minister. I mean, Paul didn't sit around at night and come up with new ideas. He trusted Christ. God gave him grace, and he walked in the light with Christ. So this was something that was, well, I'm going to be careful here, but there's a sense in which this was spiritually natural. But there's another sense in which Paul had flesh too, right? Just like we have flesh. Now, how do we like it when someone diminishes our ministry? We know that we can be provoked to just bark out something. But see, you see how controlled Paul was. Why? Because God had called him for a specific reason, and this was managed. I'm trusting that.
He treated him like a nurse.
Yes.
Well, everything a nurse does in there is like pleasant.
That's right.
But that's how he was.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He was helping get rid of some stuff.
That's right.
So they can obtain some other things.
So he could give them the better thing. That's right.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about Brother Paul able to do these things. He said to the Corinthians, "By the grace of God, I am what I am."
That's right.
And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I labored more than they all. So it's the grace of God that was working in him, teaching him these things, guiding him, helping him put to death the flesh and to live to God.
Amen.
It has intrigued me over the years how much Paul is neglected.
Mm-hmm.
It intrigued.
Yes. You can understand some because, see, we have an enemy. And this enemy knows how potent Paul is. And he knows how effective the teachings and the ministry of Paul is. So this is why he's fallen out of favor with this generation, because this generation has fallen out of favor with God.
His ministry as a whole is considered too deep. Like if you in Bible college, his writings are the last things you study.
Yes.
They should be the first things you study.
Yeah,
see,
that's right.
It's generally considered that it's just beyond us. But it's not beyond us. That's right.
Amen.
The thing is not beyond
Amen.
Us.
Amen. And
the flesh.
Amen. That's right. But see, even in this generation, not everyone has abandoned Paul. Not everyone has abandoned Christ. See, there's a remnant according to faith. And so this is going to keep, well, that's kind of a crude way. This is going to keep the faith alive in the earth. That's what's going to happen. God has a remnant, and soon, see, that God's going to do something. But he's going to do it. He's going to build it on the foundation that Paul laid, just like he did in our chapter. Yes, sister?
During those 3 years in Arabia, was he ministered by the Holy Spirit? Is that how he received from Christ?
He received it directly from Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what it says, right?
Yeah.
But he says here.
He said he didn't receive it from men.
Right.
Yeah.
But she asked if the Holy Spirit did it instead of Christ personally.
Oh, that's the Holy
Spirit. So see, but it says.
That's how Christ. But wait. That's how Christ does it.
Yes, right.
The Holy Spirit.
But he said here, "I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Right?
Yeah.
So on the road to Emmaus, Christ himself appeared. Because Paul said, he was seen of Paul. So Paul seen the exalted Christ. Remember, he said that it was brighter than the sun on the road there to Damascus. He seen Christ. So he says, "And I appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness of both the things which I have seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee."
I want to correct what I just said here.
Uh-huh.
The Holy Spirit did minister things to Paul, but
yes.
It wasn't what we're talking about here.
Right.
Through the Spirit, like he knew to go here.
That's right. That's right.
Tell you, through the Spirit.
That's right.
But the Jesus personally.
Yes.
Taught Paul what he knew of the doctrine that he was going to.
Yes, for 3 years.
Yeah.
And that's why I read that in Acts 26. This was minister. This was the apostles, the 12, were with Jesus for 3 years. Brother Gene's already made this point. When he was on the earth, they were with him all the time. Well, when the apostle, when he went to Arabia, Jesus was with him. See, this is the point he's making here. Is that Jesus opened these things up to him? Yes.
Say, "I saw things that I can't describe to you. I can't even."
That's right. That's right. That's right.
His teaching was of an extraordinary,
yes,
exalted kind.
Yes.
And I agree with Brother Gibbon. It came from Christ personally. Is the nature,
amen,
of it.
Yes.
Generally, the saints are led around, mm-hmm, and are in fellowship with the Lord and the,
yes,
Father through the Spirit. But this is something that the Lord done personally.
Yes. 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 Amen.
That's right.
Yeah, Brother Bob.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because you mentioned today there are people who call themselves apostles. But we're talking about people that were taught personally by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Paul was taught by Jesus,
amen,
Christ. So
yes.
God did take a special people, and he taught them personally.
Yes.
Yeah. Now it is taught that Jesus teaches us, but not
no,
what
not
the
like
primary
that.
Thing. He teaches us how to handle it and the extent of it, how to use it, but he doesn't teach us what he taught Paul. He teaches us how to use.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And he doesn't like it was already mentioned. Christ is teaching you now through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get anything from Christ independent from the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen. I mean, unless somebody can testify that they've seen Jesus, that he appeared to them.
He won't show you any foundational truth or truth that you and anybody else can build on.
I agree. He's going to open up the things that are freely yours. The ministry of Paul is yours.
Yeah.
It's documented in this book.
Yeah.
You can read it, but you won't understand it unless the Holy Spirit enlightens you to it. But this is what he's enlightening. Not some, I had a thought last night and, you know, Sister June, then Brother Matt, then Sister Melissa.
Yeah, Christ is the foundation that God laid.
Yes,
and
amen.
And everything's built on that. Now, the apostles, we have the framework within which we work.
Yes.
This is the legal, if you will, or the lawful area to us.
Yes.
Now, there are things that we see that weren't necessarily specific spelled out in a sentence, but it still works within that framework. It will agree to everything that the apostles taught in Christ.
Amen.
So that we grow in these things.
Yes.
We do see things, implications, and you know, extensions of thought and stuff, but it still is bound within that framework so that we know that we're not just off in left field someplace with some kind of crazy thought that's been thrown at us and that we're succumbing to a temptation of deception.
Amen. Amen. Brother Matt?
Well, just as Jesus raised up in the 12 apostles a witness of what he did on the earth, and the fact that he was a man and he was God.
Yes.
You know, they saw him transfigured before him. They saw all the things that he did among the people. They saw the miracles that he did.
Mm-hmm.
They heard the things that he taught to him. He raised them up to be witnesses of these things. He raised up a witness of what happened after he was in
heaven. Yes.
That's right.
Amen. That's amen. Right. Sister Melissa?
Yeah, I was thinking on this understanding from the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about how Jesus said, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So if you want to understand something, you'll be able to understand it. You might not understand it that minute, but if you really have received the love of the truth and you want to understand, then you can pray for understanding, and the Spirit will give you understanding.
Yes.
I've experienced it many, many times, and each one of you have. It may not be right away. It might be next year sometime that you understand even more.
Yes.
But, see, this is a light burden from the Lord.
Amen.
You don't have to be burdened down with, I can't understand the Scripture.
That's right.
You can.
Yeah, amen.
He's going to give it to you.
Amen. Brother Jeremy?
Can be oppressive.
Yes, amen. Brother Jeremy, do you have
it? Reason why it's very important to understand that Christ taught Paul. Christ taught the apostles in their perfect agreements. Because we have today people who will argue that this is Paul's opinion, Paul's idea. It's not.
Yes.
See, Paul was, when he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, I mean, he was very wise. But this is not just a man's wisdom. This is coming from God.
Amen.
This is why Paul, even though he was taught separate, perfect agreement, perfect unity.
Amen.
You can't do this on men's wisdom. Men's, when they have their own wisdom, they're going to have a little bit of a difference of opinion. Something like that. This is not a difference of opinion. This is God's foundational truth that we, everything that we do, we set on this. We build on this. We learn from this.
Amen. Brother Tony, Brother Matt, Brother Gene.
All you got to do is go to 1 Corinthians 2, and Paul talks about the role, a great deal about the what the Spirit will do in the church. He's opening up what Christ did.
Yes.
He's only doing what Christ did.
That's right.
He's only opening up what Christ did. That's all he's talking about.
That's right. Yes.
He came to glorify Christ.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
This is Paul, his revelation of Christ is consistent with his particular ministry. The other apostles was pre-exalted of Christ, primarily. But Paul is after resurrected. And his ministry would be directed to what Christ had accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense to me that he would be taught by the exalted Christ.
Amen.
Because he's going to be dealing primarily with opening up what I did.
That's right. Amen.
Makes sense.
That's exactly right. Brother Matt?
Many people over the years who have testified of some type of extra-biblical revelation that they received from heaven themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has caused all kinds of, broken off into different sects. You know, that's how Mormonism was started and all this and that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you've rejected the witness that God has given us, then how could you ever think that you're going to get another witness from God?
Yeah, that's right.
God has given us everything that we need to be able to know Him.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ within these witnesses that He raised up.
Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. Brother Gene?
I wanted to mention this text that no one has read this yet this morning. We've cited it very often over the years where Paul says in his Galatian letter, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man.
That's right.
Yeah. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now the other apostles heard Jesus' teaching.
Yes.
For that 3-year period.
Yes.
And there in John 14, 15, and 16, he talked about how the Spirit was going to expound that, bring to the remembrance everything they'd said.
Amen.
Paul didn't hear those things.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What was revealed to him is what has been said this morning.
Yes.
The exposition then of what they saw and heard was revealed to Paul directly by Jesus himself. That was the instrumentality, if you will.
That's right.
Was the method that that he used.
Yes.
Not by the Spirit, but somehow Jesus revealed that to him personally.
Mm.
What he preached to us, what we're reading, what we read in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Hebrews, all those letters. That's what was revealed to him.
The ministry of Christ, he was told to Paul.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Brother Gibbon?
Yeah, a practical thought. You will not be able to take something revealed to Paul and take it further than he took it.
Yeah.
You will not be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If he talked about the death of Christ, you can't take it further than he took it. Jesus, that was the fullness of the foundation.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, see, so what he's doing now is the Holy Spirit is helping us understand what he revealed. Yeah. What he said.
Most of the thing minister does is applying it.
That's
using
right.
It.
Yeah.
It's a different type of thing. But that he does work with us on those things there.
But Jonathan,
he'll not give you an advanced conclusion.
Yeah, that's right.
About something Paul said.
Yes. Amen. But Jonathan,
owing to the faithfulness of the apostles. Mm-hmm. It's accurate to say the world has never forgotten about Jesus because of their faithfulness.
Yes.
Right. But because of men like Paul, as well as the other apostles, the church has stayed alive because he's given them things to keep the church running.
Amen.
And that's why it's vital we go to these things, because that's why he's given it. The church will keep remain.
Yeah.
It will remain alive. It will remain stable.
Amen.
Because of what he gave to these men.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, Brother Tony?
You're talking about the Spirit opening up things and of this age. No, but really, we're not after that. It's not an intellectual thing.
Okay? Yeah.
Actually, we're making application in our personal life.
That's right.
Example,
that's right.
The resurrection.
Uh-huh.
We're going to make an application of what the Spirit is teaching us about that to our own selves.
Yes.
So it's not really an intellectual pursuit per se, but it's more of a personal thing.
Amen.
We're not really, nobody in here is really trying to go, you know, do anything but make an application.
Yes,
that's right.
So I think that's how
I
see it.
Yes, living out the truth.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Right on. That's exactly what it's all about.
Amen.
Yes. Working out your own salvation, fear and trembling.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
And then you'll have help from heaven in doing that.
Yes.
But you'll not have help in heaven on what's been revealed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
On a further revelation.
Yes, sister.
Yeah. the scripture, that phrase, the engrafted word of God.
Engrafted. Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Spirit is doing.
Yes.
It's engrafting.
Yes.
So that we ourselves are. It's a union that can't really be explained.
Uh-huh.
But the truth is being grafted into us, so that it isn't the whatever we say. It's not just academic knowledge.
Yeah.
Yes.
That it becomes part of us, and we grow in whenever you participate in something.
Mm-hmm.
That knowledge, though it may be contained in a sentence, is much larger than that sentence.
Yes, yes.
And so that's what we're dealing with here.
Amen.
The truth.
Yes.
It isn't just something we know.
Mm-hmm.
That we are of the truth.
Mm-hmm. Brother Given, then Brother Jeremy.
Well, let's take something that most Brother Harris are familiar with. The new man and the old man. Let's just take that.
Uh-huh.
You realize what that is now.
Yeah.
That's what the Spirit did, opened up what Paul's.
Yes.
That's why you know it.
Amen.
But you wouldn't have known there was such a thing if it wasn't for Paul's ministry.
Amen. Amen. Brother?
Yeah, I was thinking some more about this, about how people have said these are Paul's opinions and things like this. Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord.
Yeah.
He emptied out himself for pride, for opinion, everything he had learned up to that point, which was a lot.
Yes.
I mean, he listed right before the scripture everything that he went through that would made him perfectly a Pharisee. But he emptied himself.
Yes, amen.
What we received from Paul was directly from Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I wanted to commend Sister Heather for asking that question. Do you see how much it opened up?
Yes. Amen.
And actually, I also wanted to clarify, when we say the Holy Spirit teaches you, it means that Jesus is teaching you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't teach of himself. He facilitates the learning process. That's right. So he opens up things that have to do with Christ, but it's not independent from Christ, is my point. Christ is there. He's the one doing the teaching. We are taught by Christ. He's our teacher. But he put the Holy Spirit in you. He has the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit. And they interface and he teaches you.
That he received of the Father, and what he received of the Father, he would give to the Spirit, and the Spirit would give.
Amen.
He laid it out.
That's
how
right.
It happens.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
And in the same place, it says the Holy Spirit is the
right.
Spirit of Christ.
That's right. And he's the Spirit of truth. So see, these things, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're all there. When you're being taught by Christ, you know it. This isn't something like, I just had a dream last night. This is not the way it works.
Yeah.
Brother Gene, then Brother Tony.
It's something like, Peter went and pulled that fish out of the water and got two pieces the money out of it.
That's right.
The fish didn't give him the money.
Yeah.
It was the Lord that gave him the money.
Yes.
And directed him.
Amen.
Use it. Go get it.
He had to prepare that fish, didn't he?
Just a verse to back up what you're saying over 1 John 2:27.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Where it says, you need not no man teach you but the anointing. So this is.
Yes. Amen.
For anybody who wants to receive that.
That's right.
Yes, that's right. Good point.
Amen.
Now, hearing the teaching and understanding, that's two different things.
That's right.
But that's why the Holy Spirit is employed in understanding
and that's
applying
right.
it and use it. See, the truth is of no value if you don't use it.
Yes.
Yeah. It Amen. Loses its value if it's not used.
That's right. Actually, it will condemn you.
That's right.
Because it's there. Anyone that can read the truth on the page. Yes.
I think I can state this. Mm-hmm. But anyone that entertains wrong views about God, The difficulty is they don't know the foundations.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is.
Yes,
the problem
that's
is
right.
It's not that subject that they're... That they don't know that subject, that's not it. They don't know the foundation.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen. Brother
Tom? Because I've witnessed this, I'm going to say this, mm-hmm. that if you can cut a person loose mm-hmm. from something they picked up from somewhere else, I'm talking about like maybe a false religion, mm-hmm. a denominational mm-hmm. teaching or something like that, if you can cut them loose from that, and if you can cut, and if it's other, if they've adopted something from the world, some mm-hmm. kind of crazy thinking, but if you can cut them loose from that, get them to throw that down, okay? Mm-hmm. And just throw it away, throw it down, and go to the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now you may debate this, but if you get them to go to the scriptures, mm-hmm. and you get them to study and to pray and ask the Spirit and ask the Lord to guide them, I've seen the Lord do this.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got to throw down everything else they put in their mind.
Amen. That's right.
They can't do it as long as they hang on to something.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes that's all you can do.
Yeah.
And I've seen the Lord actually direct them because they were reading the scriptures and asking the Lord direct them.
Amen.
See, this is what we learned from Brother Paul. Is we count all things for loss.
Amen.
For the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we count all loss. Whatever pride we have, we cut it, we let go of it, because our main objective is to know the truth and know our Lord. And to be with him in glory. That's our main objective.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, now, Paul was raised up as a boy under the premier Jewish teacher,
mm-hmm.
Gamaliel.
Yes.
But he never quoted anything.
That's right. That's right.
He got a superior, Jesus gave him a superior revelation.
Amen.
Dwarf. That Gamaliel's teacher was like the moon.
Yes.
When he got it heard from Jesus, that was a son that just blotted that out.
Amen. Yeah, well, you know, once you taste of the powers of the world to come, once you've been taught by Christ, you find out he is the superior teacher. Sister Melissa?
And we shouldn't exalt any other man.
That's right.
Christ.
Amen.
Or quote them.
That's right. Well, see, there's a difference between worshiping somebody and learning from them. Paul was worshiping Christ, but he was teaching the church. You see, we highly esteem them for their work's sake, not just because they're a personality that we credit highly. It's because of what they've given us, what they've opened up of the scriptures. Same thing that Paul did, right? He was sent to open men's eyes. Well, if someone, doesn't make any difference who it is, if they've opened your eyes in a specific area, well, then you ought to give thanks for that. See, that's something that and actually, if you've received it, you will give thanks for it. But Justin?
And the things that Paul counted for loss, they weren't like worldly things or base immoral things. They were religious things.
That's right.
They were things that he commended himself to God for doing.
Yes.
They're religious things.
Yes. Amen. That's right. Yes. Yes. Sister Heather and Brother Thompson.
I would like to give thanks to God for opening this up to me. It was just this week, mm-hmm. a couple days ago, I had these questions. I was in a conversation. And I've been seeking to draw near to God, and I feel like it was just a testimony that he does teach and answer. And I'm really blessed by this conversation. It's direct.
Amen.
Directly from our Lord.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
And this dung hill that Paul started,
mm-hmm.
he began to throw everything on.
Yeah.
It was his family heritage.
Yeah.
And his pedigree.
That's right.
All the things.
Amen.
And that was on the dunghill he started.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, brother Bob.
Yes.
It is, I think, good to mention that these were not bad things, but when you compare it to Christ,
compare it,
that's dumb.
Yeah, that's right.
When you compare your work, your good works, your righteousness, compared to Christ's righteousness, well, you look at your one hand and you look at the other one, and you say, well, this is better, so I'm going to take what was in my mind was good before.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to toss that out because this is what Christ has offered. It's much better. We always do that.
Yes.
No man ever holds on to something when you give him a choice. He said, would you like the rusty bike or the new one? I'll take the new one, please.
That's right.
When you compare Christ to anything.
Best. Yes. Amen.
Everybody in this room here has actually experienced this.
Yes.
You saw something and you willingly just some other idea you had that may have clashed with it, you just you just abandoned it.
That's right.
By way of comparison, you threw it away.
Amen. Sister Maddie?
We've said it many times here that Jesus' ministry became infinitely more effective when he entered heaven and became the glorified Christ.
Amen. Uh-huh.
And Paul stands as an example of how much more abundant Christ's ministry is as a glorified Christ.
Yeah.
Look at how much he was able to do through one man as a glorified Christ. And whenever you look to Paul, you immediately are redirected to look to Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
That was Paul's focus. That was his emphasis.
That's right.
Was to open our eyes to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a very effective ministry.
Amen. Amen. Brother Tony?
Aggravated Paul one time. They really forced him into it.
Mm-hmm.
He had to talk about who he was.
Yeah.
Okay. And he called it foolishness. But if you'll put up with my foolishness, I'll enumerate all these things for you. But that's the only time
that's right.
he talked about family heritage, his particular pedigree, and all his certificates of accomplishments and things like that. But I'm going to tell you why he didn't do that, Brother Robert. He didn't want them to focus on who he was any more than he's already an apostle.
That's right. That's right.
Okay? Yeah. So he didn't want them to focus on this extraordinary thing.
Yes.
But he was offended that anybody would glory in him. He glorified them all.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Think of who Paul ministered to now. He ministered to a slave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Onesimus. He ministered to barbarians
mm-hmm.
on that
mm-hmm.
island.
Yeah.
And he even ministered to kings.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right.
There wasn't anybody that wanted to hear that he didn't minister.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Brother Johnson?
There's some things that Paul said that I can see points to his sensitivity and his love for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of them was when the Corinthians were arguing about
mm-hmm.
who they followed. He says, some say I'm a Paul, some say I'm of Apollos, some mm-hmm. say I'm of Cephas. And he said, was Paul crucified for you? He said, were you baptized in the name of Paul?
See, that's right.
He was offended at anyone putting him above his Lord.
Amen. And
likewise, he even went as far to say this to some people. He said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you.
Yeah.
Lest anyone would say I baptized in my own name. Because he knew he would have become the centerpiece instead of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't do it. If it took people's attention on Jesus, he would not do it.
That's right.
He was offended at people putting more attention on him.
Yes.
And I want to have that kind of sensitivity to him.
Amen. Amen.
The weakness of the Corinthians. See, other people did.
Yes.
But he saw it.
Yeah.
Even when he needed something, he said, I wouldn't tell you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Paul, when he did this, when he defended, when it sounded like he defended, somebody was questioning his apostleship.
Yeah.
See, it's very serious. Very serious, because if you can defraud his apostleship, then all this stuff falls to the ground. So that's why he did that.
It wasn't just that he was an apostle, it's what he said as an apostle.
That's right.
What he said. So
when
his apostleship was questioned, it was questioned because the people didn't believe what he said.
That's right. Somebody else brought up other things.
That's right. Yeah.
Sister?
Yeah, it's very different to... I just lost my word. It's another word that... similar to, but not exactly,
mm-hmm.
Exalt the office
mm-hmm.
and to exalt the person.
Yeah.
It's two different things.
Yeah, yeah. That's
Whenever the office is exalted,
uh-huh.
it's for this cause.
That's right.
That it's to be given attention to and taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But as Sister Maddie mentioned, if you receive the teaching of Paul, then you worshiped Christ.
Amen. Yes, that's right. Amen.
And
Amen. Amen.
There was never any competition there
mm-hmm.
at all.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
He said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Uh-huh. Amen. Well, this has been very productive.
Amen.
And we'll try to get through just a little bit of Colossians here. Sister Hannah.
Is very foolish. Choosing Jesus is very, very wise.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Not choosing Jesus is very foolish, but choosing Jesus is very wise.
Yes.
I'll say amen to that. So now, my point it was bringing that up, and the Holy Spirit had some more stuff to pack in there. But was that Paul didn't use his calling as a means of lording over the brethren. That he was a good steward of what God had given him. That was the point. That's right. So he didn't over exalt himself. He exalted the office, which is what he was called to do.
It's God that exalted the office.
Yes.
Not man.
Yes. Amen. So he doesn't use his position in the kingdom to rule over.
Yeah.
But he used it to give.
Yeah.
See, to produce a cause for them to accept these things. So it doesn't surprise us then in Colossians verse 2, this is what he says. To the saints and faithful brethren. Now that's who he wrote the letter to. It was to the church, but more specifically it was to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is how he opens this up. Now it's very similar in different letters, but it's unique in this letter. And so he has heard of their faith, right? He's heard of their faith, and now he knows this is an open door from God, because he's been called to do this. He's been called to open their eyes. Now he knows, Paul knows, just because you have believed doesn't mean you understand everything.
Yeah.
Brother Gibbon?
I think in all of his epistles, he specified
yes.
saints and called of God. So
yes.
And there are some people that read that and they see there he considered everybody there saints. That's not what he said.
Yeah.
He means exactly what
That's
he said.
Right. Amen.
I mean, there may have been a fornicator or somebody in uh-huh. there, but he wrote this to the saints.
To the saints.
The ones saints, the ones who call.
Yes.
That's who he wrote to.
Amen. That's the ones that would receive his words.
That's right.
So see, those who have received grace and peace are teachable.
That's right.
In other words, God's giving them the resources, and that's what Paul's asking for. He's going to ask God to give them things to where he can teach them. Because otherwise, you're just talking to a room full of people. But see, Paul knows there's got to be some groundwork done in order for them to grow up into Christ.
Yeah, no matter if you're young or old. If you believe what you said about the Apostle Paul,
mm-hmm.
then you are able to eventually comprehend what he said.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You are eventually. You may
yes.
not grow, but eventually, yeah. young or old, if you receive the fact that Jesus sent Paul to the Gentiles, if you receive that, you can receive what he said.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
And see it.
Amen.
Sure I understand it.
So grace puts a person in the proper attitude. Now, you know, that I hope you understand what I'm saying there. It's very hard to be taught when you don't want to be there. I've experienced this. I've been in some classes, you know, Randy Frome's Arcade School, and I'm sitting there thinking, why am I here? Somebody sent me to this school and I don't want to be here. I don't want to learn this stuff. And so I didn't learn the stuff. I really didn't. I passed the course, but I didn't really throw my heart into it. All right. So, but see, he's talking about something much more important than the things we learn or teach each other. He was going to impart unto them spiritual realities. And so now, so he's very careful how he plants the seed. So he doesn't just pour out a bunch of stuff that they can't get yet. He starts and he starts building one block on another, because Paul knows how it works. Paul's not experimenting with these brethren. He's giving them what they need to grow. Peace calms the soul. Grace and peace be unto you. You're saying something there. You're saying something. If God gives them grace and peace, they'll be in an environment where teaching can happen. That's what we need. We need grace and peace. And when we have it, we can all testify that not only do we grow, we are blessed, we're enlightened, we're so happy to grow, because we have peace. We have calmness.
And Jesus and the Father are in collusion.
That's right. Yes. And peace calms the soul.
Yes.
Oh, we got, you know, without peace, soul is like cast onto a stormy sea. Our souls can be so agitated about something that we should have let go of 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It can.
Yes.
I know I can remember things and it can agitate my soul when I come into the assembly and it inhibits. We need grace and peace. And Paul starts off with what they need. They need grace and peace. Now, if we can get to work now, if we can calm down our souls and submit ourselves to Christ and sit at His feet, some teaching, it'll happen. It'll occur. It'll occur. To the saints and faithful brethren. Paul knows who he's ministering to. See, we already talked about this a little bit. He's targeted a specific kind of person.
Yeah.
A person that the Holy Spirit is abiding in.
Yeah.
See, now, if you're going to do something, doesn't make it what it is, there's a certain set of requirements. You know, if you're going to put together a desk, you need a certain tools, certain accessories you're going to have. Otherwise, the work is in vain. You bring in a bunch of boards and throw them on the floor and say, okay, turn into a cabinet. Well, you're just fooling yourself. And it's the same thing with ministering.
Yeah.
There's some things that have to be there. Now, Paul's depending on the Holy Spirit to create the environment.
Yeah.
But he's also depending on the saints and the brethren. Those are the ones that are actually going to provoke the environment. If you can see what I'm saying, Paul knows who he's ministered to, even though he's never met them before, which tells you the universal, how universal faith is to the kingdom of God. If he hears of their faith and their love for the brethren, and he's like, I can work there. I can work in that environment. Something's going to get done. So Paul's not laboring in vain. And this is what he says next. This is genius. It's more genius. This is Christ working through Paul. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. See now, Paul, let these brethren know something that makes them desire to know Paul more.
Yeah.
I'm praying for you. Ever said that to somebody? I'm praying for you. I mean, seriously, and you meant it, and you really were praying for him. That does something. That does something to the person that you're telling it to. You're transferring to them that I'm involved in edifying you, and I want to be edified by you.
Yeah.
Brother Tony?
I want to say something about the grace and peace.
Uh-huh.
You know, Paul starts out all his letters like this, grace and peace. And I thought about that. What you had to say was really good because, you know, now he's writing in the context of this environment.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I couldn't think of any other way to say
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's wanting grace and peace. And unless Paul is addressing some kind of problem, I mean, like a man is got his father's wife or some kind of something like that.
Yeah.
Then he's going to try to keep grace and peace in
uh-huh.
the mix as he addresses. And that's the way he talks to the brethren, unless it's mm-hmm. really sent in a camp. That's
yeah.
the way he talks.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the way Paul asked him to follow him as
mm-hmm.
he follows Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he don't push the brethren.
Yeah.
Okay? He leads them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Christ leads
Amen.
The brethren.
That's
he
right.
don't get behind them and push them
uh-huh.
and push them and push them.
Mm-hmm.
He leads them.
That's
and
right.
And he says he wants to make a point. You see what I'm saying? That
yes.
he sets an atmosphere of grace and peace.
Amen.
I'm telling you what.
Yeah.
He said it. If there ain't grace and peace in the atmosphere, you're wasting your time.
Yes.
It's full of agitation. And
yes.
you caused the agitation.
Yeah.
Then that's a
mm-hmm.
that's shame on you.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, Paul, that's why he said the fornicator had to go. Was to maintain this environment. Paul knew that in that environment they weren't going to have grace and they weren't going to have peace. So this is required. Do you have something really good?
No.
Okay. There's a common. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking about rightly dividing the word.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul in Antioch, he went to a synagogue and he stood up in the synagogue, so he's talking to Jewish people, and he started with the Abraham. and he preached Christ.
Uh-huh.
And then in Acts 17, he's standing among a bunch of philosophers, worldly, carnal-minded. Mm-hmm. He started with creation, but then he preached Christ.
Yes,
that's right. rightly dividing.
He's, amen.
He's drawing Christ, drawing on what people know of God,
mm-hmm.
and then he's connecting that to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's rightly dividing.
Amen.
Paul didn't follow a one measure for all or one size,
yeah,
one size
that's
fits
right.
all.
That's right.
And that's why we have such mm-hmm. a diversity in Paul's letters, because the condition in Corinth was different than Philippi.
That's right.
That's pretty obvious.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And even in Galatians, in Galatia there, he tried to draw the brethren there out of that condition, and he asked them a question. Will you have me come with a rod or in a spirit of meekness?
Yeah. Right.
And so he presented the gravity of the situation,
yeah.
and then he drew on this. You know, he's saying we don't have to use these measures, but Paul would use the measure that.
Oh yes, yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's right. Amen.
In Athens, there is something they did know about God in mm-hmm. Athens. They knew there was a God they didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Well, that's not common knowledge today.
Oh, yeah.
In an educated and refined society, mm-hmm. that was an educated and refined society.
Yes. Yeah.
But they knew there's a God we don't know.
Yeah. So this is, Paul doesn't say, I'm giving thanks for you. I'm going to show the humility of Paul here. He says, we give thanks to God for you, right? We are giving thanks to God for your faith and for your love for the brethren. That now he's talking about him and Timothy, right? All right, so I mean, he's a seasoned apostle, and he's brought in Timothy, which is a young man, and he doesn't isolate him and say, well, he's inferior. No, he wasn't inferior to Paul. He was very helpful to Paul. And so he included him in the ministry and said, we're praying for you.
Amen.
You see how inclusive Paul is? If somebody has faith, they're just brought right in. There's no hesitation. See, Paul tried, right? He examined. Why? Because when somebody left the ministry, he was very, well, he wouldn't go with. He wouldn't take them anymore, would he? He wouldn't. I can't remember who it was, but... He wouldn't take him anymore. John Mark was out, and so he went with Barnabas. But so he wasn't out of the kingdom. But see, Paul knew that his work was very serious.
Amen.
It was very serious, and so did we're praying for you. I see, you got to put yourself on the side of the receiver here. He's hearing, these people are hearing, they recognize our faith is genuine. All right, we're not imposters, and the apostle sees it, and he's praying for us.
Amen.
How encouraged a person would be! I know I'm encouraged when somebody tells me I'm praying for you, because it kind of can wake you up out of the circumstance, whatever it is,
yeah.
and say, "See, God's involved in this.
Yeah.
God's going to bring me through this." Now the saints are praying. See, so this is how Paul's starting off. He's starting off because Paul's wanting to gain good fruit from this letter. And look at what he's doing. He's starting off the right way. This is a common, actually, see, when he heard of their faith and then their love for the brethren, see, Paul wasn't like surprised. Oh, they have faith, and oh, they also have love for the brethren. This is a common trait in those who have obtained like precious faith. So in other words, for Paul, this was a sign that they were genuine. See, where they received the faith, they had faith in Christ, and they had, what's a natural response? They had love for the brethren.
Yeah.
This is what, Brother Gibbon?
Believers talked to each other back in these days.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of these are different, they were in different continents, you know, they weren't like down the street.
Yes.
They were a long way off, but they brought...
Yes.
You look up, some brethren over there, you know, they were talked about.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Now, exactly, how would you hear about somebody's faith and love today? Exactly, what kind of report would you get?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
When you the thing that are reported is the organization, the attendance, the building, mm-hmm. and what. It's not, this isn't what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Faith and love.
Faith and love.
Amen.
Amen. Since we heard of that, we've been praying for you.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Now, you know, faith promotes a continual and abiding love for all saints.
Right.
It doesn't make any difference if you meet them in Walmart, you know, in the coffee aisle. If you realize or if they've expressed something about their faith, instantly you have an affection for them. So much so, you sometimes just talk to them for a half an hour. Like, I just came in here just to get a cup. But it didn't matter. All of a sudden, your time was no more for that few moments, and you were sharing your love for Christ, and they were sharing their love for Christ. And the next thing you know, you were like transported into the heavenly realm. What happened? You both were genuine. You had faith and love for the brethren. So it's a common trait. Now, I think I could say this with certainty. Every single person that comes up out of the water of baptism loves the brethren. Now, I mean, unless of course their baptism was, you know, I don't want to even challenge that. I'm just saying that, yes, if you've been baptized into Christ, you come up out of the water. Nobody would say, yeah, but I'm holding a grudge against so and so. That's not what happens.
That's right.
It's not like have you come up and you are made new.
Amen.
And you have a deep love and affection.
Amen.
For the saints of God, because something's happened to you, and it happened through them, through their ministry. And it produces this care and this love. And boy, this is powerful stuff. This is powerful because Paul knows what he's doing. And I was impressed by this. In every one of his letters, if you look at and you examine it, Paul is very strategic. Now, he's been led by Christ to do this, but see, Paul was involved in this. Paul is very smart. I'm just talking spiritually smart. He knew when to rebuke. He knew when it was going to be effective to rebuke. And he also knew when it was the best thing to comfort. He knew when to tell him, cast out the fornicator. Cast him out. And then he knew when to say, I'm praying for you. And with Thessalonica, you know, he knew what they needed. Why? Because he was sent by God to open their eyes, see, and to give them an understanding, a foundation where they would grow up into Christ.
Amen. He said himself a wise master builder.
Yes, amen. Yeah. Brother Matt?
That was the same thought I had, is that he's a wise master builder.
Yes.
And someone who is a master builder, if he's going to lay a foundation, it may be, he may have to do a different work according to the geography of the location.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul's given to know, you know, no matter where he was at, what he needed to do.
Yes.
What he needed to speak to them to build the foundation.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to have another lesson.
Was that your introduction, Brother Mom?
Yeah, that was... The Lord is so good to us.
Amen.
And he, you know, he knows what we need. So, you know, the Lord can guide us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and we don't have to be bound by anything. We really are free.
Amen.
We're free in Christ Jesus, and we've just tasted of some of that freedom this morning, and look at what the Holy Spirit does. It was a marvelous lesson the Holy Spirit led us in, and I'm thankful to God for it. And but because of the restraints of time, we have to end now. Is there any other comments? Anybody have anything you'd like to end with? Well, thank you, brother. Oh, Sister Maddie.
I was just provoked by this thought that when you recognize that your love for the brethren is waning, or you're finding it unnecessary or impossible to forgive others, then that's an evidence that you've been sitting at the feet of another teacher.
Yes.
And it can be a warning for
you.
And by the grace of God, you can recover from that state.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving us faith, for giving us to believe.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've set Christ at your own right hand in the heavens. Father, that Lord, that he might administer the kingdom. We thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Father, the Holy Spirit can illuminate our hearts to the understanding of truth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we've been given the Apostle Paul. The Lord, you gave him to the church. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a desire to understand more of what he said. Father, we ask, Lord, that our understanding would increase, that our love for one another would increase, and Father, that the grace and peace would be abundant and evident in our midst. We thank you, Father, for the food you give us, Lord. You are so kind to us and giving us everything we need, Lord. So we thank you for it. We offer it up to you, Lord, and we thank you for these those who were involved in preparing this, Lord. We are very thankful when the saints of God labor one for another. Yeah. And we thank you, Father, for their ministry. In your son's name, amen.